Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going deep, really deep, into the life and work of W.E.B. Du Bois, and specifically his autobiographical masterpiece, Darkwater.
Ah, Darkwater. I always find something new every time I go back to it.
Me too. It's so much more than a memoir. You know, it's a look at a society grappling with some really profound changes, all seen through the lens of Du Bois' own incredible journey.
Exactly. He was born right after the Civil War, so he witnessed Reconstruction, saw the rise of Jim Crow.
Yeah, and he experienced firsthand just how personal and societal forces, especially when it comes to race and equality, can collide.
Absolutely.
I mean, right from the start, he talks about his family and the kind of economic realities that shaped his world, right?
Right.
His father was a dreamer,
hmm.
and his mother was much more the practical one, the one who did not try to make him perfect. I don't know about you, but it really got me thinking about how much our parents, those dreamers and those pragmatists, influence the paths we take.
Oh, for sure. And it's interesting how he ties those personal details to, you know, to the bigger picture of what was happening in America at that time. Like, his family had to shift away from farming and move into other trades, which, you know, was a trend happening all over the country back then.
Right.
People leaving rural life, heading west for opportunity, or like his mom, seeking work in the towns and cities.
Makes you wonder how those early experiences maybe, you know, planted the seeds for his later work on social mobility and economic justice.
Mm.
Then there's his grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he describes him as this, well, this figure cloaked in like a stern, austere demeanor.
Right.
But underneath, there was a passionate revolt against the world just simmering there.
Oh, absolutely. Sounds like young Du Bois was surrounded by some pretty strong personalities.
For sure. And you can definitely see that rebellious spirit in Du Bois himself.
You know, it's fascinating that he also openly talks about his mixed ancestry. He mentions having, and I quote, a flood of Negro blood, but thank God, no Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah, it's like he was wrestling with questions of identity and belonging, even as a kid, before most people even recognized those as, well, as issues to wrestle with.
Absolutely.
You know, he describes his childhood as almost idyllic. You know, talks about being part of the town gang, fully integrated into the community.
Mm.
It makes you wonder if at that point he even fully grasped the societal barriers that he would face later in life.
That's a really crucial point because he does describe this gradual shift, right? This dawning awareness of his difference. He comes to realize that his skin color, well, it sets him apart in the eyes of others, even in a place where he felt so accepted.
Right.
And there's this poignant story, this anecdote about him challenging a bigger boy to a fight, knowing he'd probably lose, but he wanted to prove something, earn respect on his own terms.
That story really got to me. You see this young Du Bois already understanding the dynamics of power and prejudice. Even in a possible defeat, he found a way to assert his dignity, you know?
Yeah.
Demand recognition. It's almost like you can see the roots of his lifelong commitment to challenging those racial hierarchies right there in that story.
Absolutely. And what's so interesting is how that understanding went beyond those physical confrontations. You know, Du Bois was brilliant, a true scholar, but he realized that intellect alone wouldn't be enough to dismantle systemic racism.
Yeah.
He saw the need to challenge not just minds, but the very structures of power that perpetuate injustice. That fight required both, well, both intellectual and social action.
You know, he mentions being surprised when he was encouraged to go to Fisk University, which was a historically black college, instead of Harvard, which was his, like, dream school.
Right.
It seemed like a strange detour at the time.
It does, but, you know, that seemingly small detail speaks volumes about the limitations placed on black students back then, even brilliant ones like Du Bois.
Hmm.
There was this prevailing belief that their education should be, well, directed towards specific ends, you know?
Yeah.
Vocational training, teaching, things like that. And even though he eventually earned his PhD from Harvard, that initial experience highlights just how restricted the opportunities were and how low the expectations were for black students.
Then gets his trip to Europe, which was a totally turning point in his life.
Oh, yeah.
He talks about meeting men and women as I had never met them before and feeling this incredible unity beneath all life.
You really get the sense that traveling outside of America gave him this whole new perspective on race and humanity.
Totally.
What's powerful is that it solidified his dedication to fighting American prejudice. Seeing a world less obsessed with racial categories, Du Bois recognized that racism was a construct, a system built to divide and oppress. That realization, I think, really fueled his belief in the possibility of a more inclusive and just society. And then he comes back to America, you know, filled with this renewed sense of purpose. He talks about his his time at Atlanta University, and it's fascinating how his focus kind of shifts from studying books to studying human beings.
It really does.
He even describes himself as becoming like a hot and indignant defense of his people, his voice getting stronger and, well, more insistent.
Yeah, it's like a fire is ignited in him, you know?
Exactly.
Because at Wilberforce, he was a captious critic, and in Philadelphia, he was this cold and scientific investigator. But at Atlanta, it's like he comes face to face with the harsh realities of racism. And that really seems to ignite this passion that just fuels, well, the rest of his work.
Absolutely. It's not just theory anymore. You know, he's seeing the everyday struggles of Black people, the discrimination, the violence, the constant dehumanization. It makes sense that his writing becomes more urgent, more forceful.
Yeah, yeah. And it's right around this time that his relationship with Booker T. Washington comes into focus.
Oh, yeah.
It's so complex, right?
It is.
Because they're both brilliant, both dedicated to racial uplift, but their approaches are just fundamentally different.
Right.
Du Bois, he really criticizes Washington's emphasis on vocational training and that call for, like, gradual progress.
Mm.
He believed Black people deserve full citizenship rights, not just economic opportunities.
Yes.
And, you know, he felt that settling for anything less was almost like a form of surrender.
Their disagreement, it wasn't just some philosophical debate, you know, it mirrored this deep division within the Black community at that time, a debate that, honestly, we're still having today.
Yeah.
How do you achieve equality in a society that's built on these racial hierarchies? Is it through accommodation, agitation, self-help, or political action? Du Bois was firmly on the side of agitation and political action.
And you can see that in what he did, right? He co-founded the NAACP, which, I mean, it became such a force in the fight for civil rights. He was never afraid to, well, to challenge the status quo, to call out injustice wherever he saw it.
It's important to keep in mind, though, that both Du Bois and Washington were, well, they were products of their time, right?
Right.
They were dealing with this immense weight of history, trying to find a way forward in a nation still deeply scarred by slavery.
Yeah. It's a reminder that even the most brilliant minds aren't working in a vacuum.
No.
They're shaped by the world around them, by the challenges they face, and how they choose to respond. And Du Bois never shied away from those challenges.
He didn't.
He confronted them head on, even when it meant going against the grain. One of the things that makes Dark Water so powerful is just how directly he critiques white supremacy.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't hold back at all.
No, he doesn't mince words. He likes, the one virtue is to be white, which is, well, such a stark statement that exposes the really insidious logic of racism.
It's a reminder of how deep and embedded those hierarchies are, you know, how they distort our values, our perceptions.
He really doesn't let anyone off the hook. He talks about seeing this casual cruelty, this prejudice from white people, not just in the South, but in Europe too.
Mm.
It's like he realized how pervasive those attitudes were, no matter where you went.
And that's why his travels, his time abroad, were so important to his thinking. He wasn't just focused on racism in America. He was looking at it as a global issue. You know, he saw how white supremacy showed up in different ways, in different contexts. It wasn't just individual attitudes, but the institutions, the policies, whole ways of thinking.
It's such a strong indictment of how those racial hierarchies have shaped the world.
It is.
He argues that this belief in white superiority, it underpins everything from colonialism to the global economy. And honestly, it makes you question those power structures and how they're still impacting our lives today.
He even linked those global systems of white supremacy to World War I.
Oh, wow.
Arguing that the war, at its heart, was really about control of resources and the exploitation of darker nations. It's a bold claim, but he backs it up.
Yeah. He points out the hypocrisy of countries that condemn the horrors of war while at the same time, you know, committing atrocities in their colonies.
Exactly.
Like, he talks about the world being outraged over the invasion of Belgium, but silent on the brutal exploitation happening in the Congo. It's a really sharp critique that highlights, I think, Du Bois' willingness to, well, to challenge those dominant narratives, to expose how power and propaganda can hide the truth.
And that's where his vision goes beyond just criticism, you know? He gives us a warning. He says that unless the world addresses this exploitation and oppression of people of color, trouble is written in the stars.
That's powerful.
He predicts a global uprising against white supremacy, led by those who've been marginalized and dehumanized for centuries.
It is. It's a sobering thought. But there's something powerful about it, too, right? I mean, Du Bois isn't just offering up this critique. He's pointing us towards a different future. Like, he talks about this independent African state,
right,
governed, as he puts it, with benevolent international control, a state that prioritizes education and self-determination. You know, it's a pretty radical idea for its time.
It was.
But it's like this model for how colonized people could really reclaim their agency and create a more just world.
That idea of a Pan-African state, this unified and independent Africa, it was a theme that ran through a lot of Du Bois' work. He truly believed it was the key for Black people to control their own destiny, build their own institutions, and tell their own stories, you know, free from the shackles of colonial rule.
It's about shaping your own narrative.
Exactly.
And he actually lays out a plan for how to modernize Africa.
He does.
Through education, economic development, political empowerment. It's ambitious, but you can feel his belief in the potential of Black people to achieve greatness. He doesn't just talk about liberation. He offers a roadmap for how to get there.
And what's so remarkable is how he connects this vision of African liberation to the fight for democracy and equality everywhere.
Right.
Du Bois understood that true democracy, it requires the full participation of everyone, regardless of race, gender, class. It wasn't just about Black liberation. It was about human liberation.
It's about lifting everyone up.
Exactly.
He rejects the idea of this benevolent guardianship of whites over Blacks.
Right.
Arguing that it just perpetuates inequality. What he calls for is this radical expansion of the franchise, a true democracy where everybody has a voice, everybody has a stake in their society.
It's a powerful vision.
It is.
Ultimately, I think Du Bois' vision is one of human unity, right?
Mm.
It's a world where difference is something we celebrate, not fear, and where power is shared, not hoarded. He believed that we're all connected, you know, that our fates are intertwined.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Darkwater, what are some of the key takeaways that we can carry with us?
Well, I think Du Bois reminds us that our personal experiences can be a really powerful lens for understanding those bigger social and political forces at play. His journey from that small town in Massachusetts to, you know, the global stage, it really illuminated just how pervasive racism is and how desperately we need systemic change. It's a call to action for all of us to examine how those systems are impacting our own lives and our communities.
I think he also pushes us to think beyond borders, that the fight for justice is a global one, that it requires solidarity. We can't just focus on our own backyard. We need to see ourselves as part of this larger movement.
And maybe most importantly, I think Du Bois' work reminds us that the arc of history, well, it doesn't just bend toward justice on its own. It takes work. It takes that constant vigilance, that unwavering commitment, and willingness to challenge the status quo, even when it's hard.
Du Bois' words, they really resonate even today. You know, they urge us to keep striving, to keep pushing for a world where everyone has the opportunity to reach their full potential, to live with dignity and respect. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.